White. Norfolk Villa, Prospect Street, Granville, New South Wales, Australia. August 9, 1894. Dear son Willie, I thought I would not write you again this morning, but thinking you might be anxious about home, I will write a few lines. After posting the letter to you, Emily and I called at Brother Mackenzie's and found that he was sick in bed, but this morning he is up and his wife sick in bed. She gave him good treatment and probably worked too hard. Last Monday, there were 11 funerals in Parramatta, all elderly people who died with influenza. After dinner, we rode out in the park. Fanny rode with us. We used Monkey. It was a nice day. In the evening, Brother Riki came to talk with me in regard to the arrest of Brother Shannon. All are regretting that Elder Corliss left Sydney, as this is an opportune time, if wisely used, to magnify the truth. Brother McCullough has been quite sick, but is better now. Was at Seven Hills when I called yesterday to see him. Brother Riki scarcely knows which way to turn. They have so little time to prepare to make the best of the situation. He was desirous Emily should be at the trial and take shorthand notes. She has gone this morning. I am sorry some minister is not here who is prepared to give all the proper influence and support to the rite that the occasion requires, but all we can do is to pray and ask God to guide. But I am sure there should be a man, a minister such as Elder Corliss or Brother Colcord, who understands the religious liberty question, who could carry through such an occasion as has now occurred. There is all that one man can possibly do in this important locality, and it is just as essential as in any other region that he be ready as a faithful sentinel to stand at his post and in the name of the Lord make a charge upon the enemy. I like not this nakedness of help in this important place, and I believe Satan musters his forces when he sees the watchman removed. After Brother Riki had laid the matter open before me in Brother Shannon's case, he said he must hurry back, for he received a telegram from Ballarat that Lizzie Innes, his wife's niece, was very low and her life would be prolonged but a short time. She wished much to see her aunt, and she could not refuse, and he must see her on the train that night. It was then 7 o'clock. I was about to retire when Brother and Sister McCullough came to my room to see me. He had received a telegram from Brother Shannon to come to Sydney. Brother McCullough felt sorry that when the telegram went to Melbourne, he could not have had then the knowledge of the trial, for he would have had time to see lawyers and proper men, and now he could do nothing of the kind, it was so late. A telegram had just reached him from Castle Hill to come there if possible, for Brother Goodman, who had been very sick with influenza, after getting better, had a second attack, and it was feared he could not live. Brother McCullough did not know which way to turn. Late as it was, he sent his wife home with the horse. He would go to Sydney and come back to Parramatta, and drive out at once to Castle Hill after the trial was over. So this is the condition of things. We'll let you know further as soon as possible. I am on the road to recovery of my cold, but it hangs about me. Stephen, his wife, and Marion visited the sick. Some were very bad, and some improving. I drop you these lines before I ride out, for all insist I shall ride. It is now 11 o'clock, and this must get in at once. We feel that Satan is stirred from beneath to make all the confusion possible. Come home as soon as possible. We must depend solely on God in these perplexing times, or we will see only defeat and meet with mortification. God help us is my prayer. The days are most beautiful, sunshiny, and balmy. It seems strange to have so much sickness. Is the very air we breathe infected with the plague because of sin? In much love, Mother.